Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. We are currently answering the questions from our listeners in our fourth annual question and answer series. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with the answers for this year's questions. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
One time when his disciples could not cast the demon out of a young fella, the Lord come and did it, and they asked him why they couldn't do it. And he says, this kind comes not forth but by prayer and fasting. I think the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they tried to cast out a devil by saying, by the authority of Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out, you know, and that demon-possessed man beat up all seven of those boys. And you see, they may have thought they had the right words, but they didn't have the right heart. They didn't have the power of God. So in saying all that, I want you to think on this. Think on this right now. This is very important that you think on this. When Jesus Christ was on earth 2,000 years ago, he did not, let me say this, he did not cleanse a house of gambling or prostitution, nor did he clean up a bar. But he did cleanse the temple, and he did it twice. Would not revival in our local churches now be preferable to what we read in 1 Peter 4:17? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, for what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? All sin in the church makes God first pour out his judgment on the local church. But I said all of this to lead us up to where the work of our priesthood comes in, because this answers to the question about the invitation at the end of services. You see, we do not need an emotional movement of self-righteousness and religion. We need a movement of repentance and faith that begins at the altars of our local churches. We don't need to gather in the public square and hold hands with all the religions and have a prayer. No, we need to go to our local churches and our homes and repent and confess our sins and get right with God. Our text shows that we are priests. As priests, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Now, that's God's criteria. They're acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And we do this as a royal priesthood, as a holy priesthood. A priesthood that rules and reigns with Christ. And yet, does the work of a priest. As peculiar people, we show the difference between dark and light. Now, think about the work of a priest. A priest in the Old Testament ministered at a public altar. Now, there are different kinds of offerings. There were thank offerings that were offered to give thanks to God for something, some blessing, or whatever. How often do we petition God for help, for needs, health, and other things that when he does fulfill the petition, we don't say thanks. Kind of like the 10 lepers that were healed, but only one stopped, turned around, and said thank you to the Lord. So a priest sometimes offers thanks. Other times, there are praise offerings that just praise him for who he is. Then there's the confession of sin, the sin offering. Other times, they made offerings to make a commitment to the Lord to do a specific work. Today, we may say dedication, rededication. We'll have people come forward. I believe God has called me to work in the bus ministry, and I'm just sealing it right here. God has called me to work in the Sunday school, and I'm sealing it right here. God has called me to sing the choir. Maybe God has called somebody to the mission field or something of that nature. And so it's a dedication. Then the priest would work as an intercessor for others. And when he would make that offering, he'd pray for them by name, whether it was a good close friend or not, but they prayed for them by name. I think of people that are backslid, homes are breaking up, souls that are unsaved, our country, our church. Oh, intercession needs to be made. Now think about this. 52 Sundays in a year, so there are 104 invitations. And then you have revivals and other meetings that come up. So it's safe to say that in a normal Baptist church particularly, there are over 100 opportunities to fulfill what I just read in 1 Peter 2, verse 5. And holy priesthood that offers up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In other words, whereas the Old Testament priest went to an altar that was out there in front of everybody, you're going to an altar that's just in front of a church, people. And you're ashamed to do that? You're that ashamed of the Lord? Just to go up there and say, thank you. To go up there and to offer praise. To go up there and confess sin. To go up there and make a commitment to the Lord to do a specific work. Remember in our study on 1 Samuel how Hannah goes in there. Now, she's not praying out loud for everybody to hear her, but she is praying. She's moving her lips. And because it's at the church, God blesses that. In Joel chapter 1, he calls the people to come to the place of public worship. And to offer their prayers and to come together as they're at the temple. We need to go to that altar sometimes to pray for people by name that are backslid, their homes are breaking, they're unsaved, for churches, for their sins, for their country, for its sins, and for what it tolerates. My friend, if you came all 100 times forward, there would be people, I'll tell you this, there'd be people think you're crazy. Boy, I wonder what sin they've done. Oh, I wonder what they're doing. Man, these people don't know what it's all about. And those are the kind of statements that ignorant people make. It'll take, on our part, personal fasting and repentance and prayer. And if you're going to take a lead in revival, that may be exactly what it takes. So we have an invitation for people to have the opportunity in the worship of God to exercise their office as a priest. Now let me just say this, and this is not a question that somebody has asked me, but this is a question I'm going to ask you right now. Do you know that if you died today, that heaven's your home? I'm not asking you, are you a good person? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm not asking, have you been confirmed or got a perfect attendance award at church or something of that nature? No, I'm asking, was there a time in your life that you realized that you were a sinner, that you deserved to go to hell? And there was absolutely nothing you could do to take your sin away. Nothing that you could do to pay for your sin. And you needed a Savior. Much like needing surgery. I may have a bad appendix. I can't take it out by myself, but that surgeon can. And he doesn't need my help to take it out. I've just got to give him permission to do so. submit myself to Him. And my friend, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the sin that will take us to hell. We've all sinned. We're born with a sin nature. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, we all have a sin nature. We've all sinned. We can blame Adam and Eve all that we want, but we sin. And because we're sinners, hell is our destiny. What is hell? Hell is final, complete separation forever from God in the lake of fire. That's what we mean by it. For the wages of sin is death. When Jesus Christ said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish," He was talking about hell. Sometimes it's called the second death. In Revelation 20, 14 and 15, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Do you realize that when a person dies without Christ, their spirit goes to a place called hell that's held over until the great white throne judgment, from which they will be cast into that eternal lake of fire? Hell has flames, but this eternal lake of fire is like going from jail to state prison. It's an eternal sentence. And somehow God takes that spirit of yours that departed your body at death, and it forms a body for your spirit to indwell, and that will live forever, but you can't call it eternal life, it's eternal death, because that body, that thing that you possess, will forever be tormented day and night. It'll feel the pain. It'll feel the pain that your body would feel if you were in the midst of fire. It'll feel the pain. It'll feel the things. And it's worse for some than it is others. But the thing is, it's forever and you never cease to exist. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin," we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin, didn't say big sin, didn't say a whole lot of sin, just said for the wages of sin is death. Final, complete separation from God forever. That's what we've earned. That's what we have coming. But the gift, not something that we earn, not something that we get good enough for, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life because there's no more sorrow, pain, troubles, no more tears, no more death. The former things are passed away and all things are become new. The old sin nature is eradicated and we don't sin anymore. And we're in His presence in the city of God. Ever to be with the Lord. What a great thing. That's a gift. How do we get to that gift? "But God commendeth His love toward us," Romans 5:8, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Just like you are, Christ died for you, my friend. You cannot get good enough for God. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, "May God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus."